thought he was casting a spell and drew back quickly towards the door. But following his gesture, her eyes found high in the dark arching roof the small square that was the spy hole from the treasury of the Twin Gods' temple. There was no light from the spy hole. She could see nothing, hear no one overhead. But he had pointed, and his questioning gaze was on her. Both held perfectly still for some time. "Your magic is mere folly for the eyes of children," she said clearly. "It is trickery and lies. I have seen enough. You will be fed to the nameless ones. I shall not come again." She took her lantern and went out, and sent the iron bolts home, firm and loud. Then she stopped there outside the door and stood dismayed. What must she do? How much had Kossil seen or heard? What had they been saying? She could not remember. She never seemed to say what she intended to say to the prisoner. He always confused her with his talk about dragons and towers and giving names to the nameless and wanting to stay alive and being grateful for her cloak to lie on. He never said what he was supposed to say. She had not even asked him about the talisman, which she still wore hidden against her breast. Well, that was just as well, since Kossil had been listening. Well, what did it matter? What harm could Kossil do? Even as she asked herself the question, she knew the answer. Nothing is easier to kill than a caged hawk. The man was helpless, chained there in the cage of stone. The priestess of the God King had only to send her servant Duby to throttle him tonight. Or if she and Duby did not know the labyrinth this far, all she need do was blow poisoned dust down the spy hole into the painted room. She had boxes and phials of evil substances, some to poison food or water, some that drugged the air and killed if one breathed that air too long. And he would be dead in the morning, and it would all be over. There would never be a light beneath the tombs again. Arha hastened through the narrow ways of stone to the entrance from the undertomb, where Manon waited for her, squatting patient as an old toad in the dark. He was uneasy about her visits to the prisoner. She would not let him come with her all the way, so they had settled on this compromise. Now she was glad that he was there at hand. Him, at least, she could trust. "Manon, listen. You are to go to the painted room right now. Say to the man that you're taking him to be buried alive beneath the tombs." Manon's little eyes lit up. "Say that aloud. Unlock the chain and take him to..." She halted, for she had not yet decided where she could best hide the prisoner.
"To the undertomb?" said Manon eagerly.
"No, fool. I said to say that, not do it. Wait. What place was safe from Kossil and Kossil's spies? None but the deepest places underground, the holiest and most hidden places of the domain of the nameless, where she dared not come. Yet would Kossil not dare almost anything? Afraid of the dark places she might be, but she was one who would subdue her fear to gain her ends. There was no telling how much of the plan of the labyrinth she might actually have learned from Thar or from Arha of the previous life, or even from secret explorations of her own in past years. Arha suspected her of knowing more than she pretended to know, but there was one way she surely could not have learned, the best-kept secret. "You must bring the man where I lead you, and you must do it in the dark. Then when I bring you back here, you will dig a grave in the undertomb, and make a coffin for it, and put it in the empty grave, and fill in the earth again, yet so that it can be felt and found if someone sought for it. A deep grave. Do you understand?"
"No,"
said Manon, dour and fretful. little one, this trickery is not wise. It is not good. There should not be a man here. There will come a punishment. An old fool will have his tongue cut out, yes? Do you dare tell me what is wise? I follow the orders of the dark powers. Follow me.
I'm sorry, little mistress, I'm sorry.
They returned to the painted room. There she waited outside in the tunnel, while Manon entered and unlocked the chain from the hasp in the wall. She heard the deep voice ask, "Where now, Manon?" And the husky alto answer sullenly,
"You are to be buried alive, my mistress says, under the tombstones. Get up!"
She heard the heavy chain crack like a whip. The prisoner came out, his arms bound with Manon's leather belt. Manon came behind, holding him like a dog on a short leash, but the collar was around his waist, and the leash was iron. His eyes turned to her, but she blew out her candle, and without a word set off into the dark. She fell at once into the slow but fairly steady pace that she usually kept when she was not using a light in the labyrinth, brushing her fingertips very lightly but almost constantly along the walls on either side. Manon and the prisoner followed behind, much more awkward because of the leash, shuffling and stumbling along. But in the dark they must go, for she did not want either of them to learn this way. A left turn from the painted room, and pass two openings. Go right at the four ways, and pass the opening to the right, then a long, curving way, and a flight of steps down, long, slippery, and much too narrow for normal human feet. Farther than these steps, she had never gone. The air was fouler here, very still, with a sharp odor to it. The directions were clear in her mind, even the tones of Thar's voice speaking them. Down the steps. Behind her, the prisoner stumbled in the pitch blackness, and she heard him gasp as Manon kept him afoot with a mighty jerk on the chain, and at the foot of the steps, turn at once to the left. Hold the left, then for three openings, then the first right, then hold to the right. The tunnels curved and angled, none ran straight.
Then you must skirt the pit,